We're in the middle of a series, and it's interesting how the Lord builds and his plans come to pass. We're in this series called Lean In and Listen. Lean In and Listen. And the other day, Rachel and I were out driving with the kids. This was around the Christmas break, and we were talking about a few decisions that we needed to make concerning the holiday season. We were all in the car together, and I was dealing with some serious sinus symptoms at the time, so my ear was a little bit blocked. As we were talking to the kids, the kids were in the back seat. They were, you know, laughing and having fun and cutting up and all that good stuff, just being kids. And so I had a challenging time listening to Rachel and really making out what she was saying, because there is road noise. Our vehicle, the truck that I'm driving, it has these fake off-road tires. It's a two-wheel drive, but it looks like a four-wheel drive, so it's kind of annoying. And it's loud. And that's the previous owner that I purchased it from, is it's just loud. So I had to lean in even more so to listen to what Rachel was saying as the kids were laughing and having a good time in the back seat. I was having a hard time because she was trying to be quiet about some surprises. What do you want to do? So she was being really quiet. But I'm like driving, and like the truck's loud, and they got the road noise from the tires. If I wanted to hear her, if I wanted to listen to her, if I still wanted to engage in conversation with her about our holiday plans, I had to do something different. Listen to me. It's not about the kids. It's not about the truck. Listen to what I'm saying. I had to do something differently. I had to lean in and listen to her voice intentionally. I had to wean out what was going on around me and the distractions and the noise, the road noise. Today's car day. Brad's talking about suspension, and I'm talking about road noise. I don't know. Wean out the noise of what was going on around us so I can focus on what she's saying as I'm on my journey, as I'm driving, as I'm moving forward. And I believe it's like that for us as followers of Jesus. There are so many distractions all around us competing for our attention. And at times, some things are loud, and some things might look really, really good. But here's the thing. In order to hear God's voice, I encourage folks, you have to get in the same room as him. You can't be out here doing all these different things and want to hear God's voice. You have to be where he is. You have to lean in and listen. He's not the loudest voice. The Bible says he's the still small voice. Still small voice, not because he has a quiet voice. He can get your attention. That's the pulling and the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It's the still small voice because he wants you to come in and have that fellowship time, that close and personal relationship with him, to where he can speak to you and he has your undivided attention. Welcome to week two of Lean In and Listen. This is a series where there's going to be some spiritual application as always, but there's going to be some practical steps. And what I want to talk to you about today is I want to follow up on the three questions that we asked last week as we began this series. And Rachel did a fantastic job. But the questions are this, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Does God speak to me? Does God speak to me? You might believe that God speaks, but does God speak to you? The second question, will he speak to me? There's one thing, if he does, yeah, he could. But will he? Will he speak to me? And the most, not important question, but the last question, where most of us live, do I know and recognize his voice when he speaks? Do I know and do I recognize his voice when he speaks? So does God speak to me? I believe he does. I believe he does. To every believer, every born-again believer, every follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And I want to share with you today how God speaks and take some practical steps to position ourselves so we can hear. God loves you and me very much. And being a Christian isn't following about following religion or tradition or denominations. It's about a life-giving relationship with Jesus, a life-giving relationship with God, and a life-giving relationship through the Holy Spirit. If God speaks, then why don't I hear him is a question that I've heard many times being a pastor. The primary way that God speaks to you and me is through the Word. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me and for you. That's how God speaks to us consistently every single day. So that's why it's important as we take some steps back, and for those who have been in the church for a long time, we're going to take some steps back so we can move forward. Here's the thing, is that we all know this is the Bible and we read the Bible, but don't let it just be words on the page that your eyes see. Your natural eyes can see words on the page, but how about your spiritual eyes? That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know, that you may see, know, hear, understand, grasp fully the Word of God that's being read or understood or preached or taught. That's why it's important in your own quiet time, your devotion time, your Bible reading time, that you look and you say, before you read it, before you open it up, God, I need your help today. Lord, what do you want to speak to me today through your written word? And the consistency of reading your Bible, of having that set time. If you're like me, I like to have set times. You have an appointment. What's the appointment? The appointment's at 1:15. Well, great. If you need to get up at 6:15 or 5:15 or whatever time is and have an appointment with God, then I want to challenge you to do so. Because he's waiting and he wants to talk to you. The Bible says he desires to show you things to come. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. But the Bible is God directly speaking to me through the challenges and successes of the people in the pages. We can learn something. It's speaking to me. You can put yourself in that position. Wow, what would I have done? And kind of role play with it a little bit. But God, what do you want me? If Solomon did that, if Paul did that, if David did that, if Samson, as strong as he was, as you empowered him, if he can fall, what about me? Put yourself in that position. Put yourself in envision what God would speak to you. And then get a notepad or your device and be willing to write down what he shows you. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. That's going to be a main verse, a main theme in this series. God was speaking through Solomon to us today. He's talking to his son, but God is speaking to us. Did you ever notice that there's a fight for your attention? You know, some people, they might have attention deficit disorder, ADD, ADHD, all these different things that are coming up now. And that's a real thing, but there's a fight to concentrate. And even as you're in 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you that, hey, you don't have to be held back by four letters or three letters or attention anything. I want to tell you that if you have a plan, that's why we have prayer notes. And I understand there's medication. I'm all for whatever, however the Lord leads you. But here's the thing. You have a prayer guide. That is to keep you focused. It's not to control you or to manipulate you or to tell you what to do or to boss you around. That is that's an organized list of, hey, here's what we're going corporately together as a church family as we're praying things out. So do that on top of what you're doing. This way here, we're all going in the same direction. It's important that we all say the same thing and do the same thing and move in the same direction. Amen? But it's written down so you can focus and you have your prayer directives that, hey, God, I'm going to pray and focus on this today. And you read the scripture and you say, God, I thank you for it. And then you know what? Every day you get stronger and stronger, and the Lord will show you what to do. But you don't have to be bound by any attention issues or anything like that. Amen? So God wants to lead us, but there's a fight for our attention. God is speaking to us, and say, listen, pay attention to what I'm telling you in my word. Pay attention. Don't get distracted or put my words off or don't pay attention to them. Always keep them in front of you. What's in front of you? See, so many times there's a device. You know, there's a new parenting tip, and it's called put a device in front of your kid to keep them quiet while you can do whatever. And I understand this is the technology age, that technology is booming, and we have all kinds of wonderful technology. But some of the reasons why we might have some attention things is because of a device. It does some things chemically in the brain. So I want to encourage you, is that it's okay to have a device. It's okay. I believe that there are great tools and entertainment and everything like that. But don't, if you're on it for hours and hours and hours a day, I want to encourage you, back off. Wean off. Wean yourself off. And you know what? It's okay to have an old, good old-fashioned paper Bible and bust it open and read it. I do most of my devotion and reading from a Bible because I don't want to be tied to a device. I get texts and calls and even just like you all. I like a Bible. Amen? So I'll keep moving forward. But so many times today, there's a fight for our attention. There's a fight for things. We're always trying to run around doing something with somebody. And then the technology boom, and then social media, then YouTube, and then watching TV shows. What are you filling your spirit with? What are you filling your mind with? What are you filling your emotions with? Is there any life in it? Is there any life in what you're feeding yourself? Because if there's no life in what you're feeding yourself, then you're not going to have life. Guard your gateways. I want to challenge us all today. Let's make God a priority even more so this year. Well, I've been doing this for years. Congratulations. You're not dead yet. Keep doing it. Keep moving forward. It's not on what you did. It's what you're doing now, today. Today is the day of salvation. Your life from this moment forward is moving forward. It's not what you did behind you. It's today. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve your past. You can't serve what you did. You can't serve anything that you did in the past. That's behind you for a reason, to look back and to celebrate on. But today we're moving forward with God's plans and God's purposes and His intention for our lives. Do you know His voice? Can you hear His voice? Will you respond to His voice? So I want to challenge you today, slow down the pace of your life. Get rid of all the distractions. What we give place to greatly affects the quality of our life, whether you understand that or not. So guard your heart. Guard what you're watching. Watch what you hear. Watch what you feed on. Watch what you view, and watch your mouth. I used to say that growing up. I used to hear that. Hey, watch your mouth, kid. Someone would cuss in the fruit store that I worked in. Hey, kid, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Are you always being negative? Is it always, and your struggle and your problem? No, speak life if you want to change something. Speak the word of God if you want things to change in your life. If not, then it's not going to change. I'll keep moving. See some smiling faces. Hearing God's voice is something that everyone, Christian or not, they want to experience. We all have a void. We all have a desire. I just want to know what's real. And that what is real, knowing that we have and desire, is to hear God's voice. We have some friends that just had a newborn baby. The baby recognizes voices. The baby knows mom and dad's voice. The baby knows the brothers and sisters' voices. So when the baby's born, it can turn its head and understand and lead into that direction. So we're born as infants to recognize the voice of mom and dad. Do you recognize the voice of the Lord? Do you know when God speaks? Do you hear Him? He desires to speak to you in the secret place, in the intimate place. The intimate place, don't get polluted or dirty or like that. It's not, sometimes it can be weird to say intimacy in church. It's just a place of quietness, a set apart place to where, hey, this is where I do business with God. This is where I do my devotions and I pray and I expect to hear the voice of God in my life. So watch what you say, watch what you hear, watch what you view. Why? Because everything in your life is connected to your heart, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Guard it. Guard it. That's what the Lord is saying to us. Guard it. So hearing God's voice, we all want to hear. We all want to experience it. Although we want to hear God's voice, for most of us, it can be a mysterious process. Or for some of us, we don't know how to hear God's voice consistently, or some of us even at all. Yet hearing and understanding what God is saying is critical for our spiritual development. So we have to hear. It's important. It's imperative for us to hear. So how does God speak to me? Primarily through his written word, the Bible. The Holy Spirit, he desires to lead you and guide you in every area of your life. God's concerned with every little detail and every big event. He's concerned. He wants to get involved. So through a prompting, through a hunch, through a nudge on the inside, sometimes it can be a scratching. If you're going somewhere or doing something or part of something, you can feel a scratching on the inside. And that's the Holy Spirit alerting you that, hey, something's not right. Check your heart. Come talk to me and pray about it. That something's just not right here. You have to pay attention to that. That's a leading and a prompting of the Holy Spirit. So you need to get before the Lord. What are you saying? Am I not supposed to go? Am I not supposed to do this? Am I supposed to go in late today? We had many friends that were part of, that were in the buildings. Not many friends. We heard many stories from friends that had loved ones in the buildings at 9/11, the Twin Towers. And the day of 9/11, regardless of what anybody else could think, regardless of anything else, some felt prompted to not go to work that day, like stay home. Now listen, tomorrow morning or the next day you have work, oh, don't be like, I feel like binge watching and staying home. You get up out of bed and you go to work, unless the Holy Spirit's prompting you, not because you're feeling lazy and you want to have a Campbell soup day. But the Holy Spirit prompted several individuals, firsthand reports. You should stay home today. And like, what? I got paper, I got reports, I got meetings, I got stuff. They didn't go to work. Some others that we know, same exact thing. So here they are, there's groups of people that were believers, that were followers of Jesus. Other people didn't know Jesus, but he was trying to get their attention. God was trying to get their attention. That's the sovereign will of God coming in here and getting people's attention, which he can do anytime that he wants, however he wants. But in this leading, you all know the end of the story. They didn't go to work. They weren't harmed by the terror attacks in 9/11. It pays to obey. It pays when you sense the nudging, the scratching, the something's just not right. Or, hey, this is the way, walk in it. This is good. I don't understand it. I don't like it. This is change. This is hard. This is difficult. Take a next step. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's how he's dealing with us and leading us. This is the season that we're coming into as the church collective, body of Christ worldwide. We have to know his voice and pay attention to it, but then take the next step and actually obey it. So the next thing, God will speak to us at times through dreams and visions, although they can be rare. But dreams and visions will be confirmed by the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be some funky pizza, like you put pineapple and ham on a pizza. Don't. That's wrong. Just kidding. But not because you ate some kind of spicy sausage or something like that, and you're having these funky dreams. No. But dreams and visions are real. There are people in third world nations that are having dreams and visions, and Jesus is appearing to them. And he's saying, I am the way, follow me. People that are Muslim and Hindu and all different kinds of religions. There's people in this church who have had visions. We're not seeking after a vision or a dream. We're seeking Jesus, the author of the dream. So God can give you an idea, God can give you a thought, God can give you a series of thoughts. Just like the devil can pop a thought into your mind, God can drop an idea. God can drop a witty invention. If you're techie and savvy and you understand things, God will give you a blueprint of how things just fit, and you just do it and you know it. And you know what? It can be very profitable for you. God doesn't lead through the prophetic or through prophecy. God confirms. Prophecy in the Old Testament was breaking news. Prophecy in the New Testament and the prophetic is confirmation. We're led by the Holy Spirit, not dreams, not visions, not the prophetic. They confirm what the Holy Spirit's already spoken to us and is saying now in this moment. We don't follow after signs, wonders, and miracles in the prophetic. They follow us as believers. They're demonstrations of God as He sees fit. God speaks to you and me through the Holy Spirit. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. John 16:13, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will lead and guide you into all truth and tell you things to come. But you got to be in the same room. You have to be listening. Your ear has to be attentive to His voice. You know, we just got a puppy. When I say we, I mean Mikey, but I mean we. Let me just tell you, that puppy knows Mikey's voice. That puppy knows my voice. He'll warm up to a stranger, but he knows my voice. He knows Mikey's voice. He knows others' voice as well. As we look at people in the Bible who heard from God, Samuel was one of the best examples. And the story of Samuel, we're going to briefly touch on it today, is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to read that. We can all track together. Samuel served the Lord by helping Eli, the priest, who was by that time almost blind. Good news, Eli. Verse 2, in those days, the Lord hardly ever spoke directly to people, and He did not appear to them in dreams very often. But one night, Eli was asleep in his room, and Samuel was sleeping on a mat near the sacred chest, or the Ark of the Covenant, in the Lord's house. They had not been asleep very long when the Lord called out Samuel's name. Here am I, Samuel answered. Then he ran to Eli. Here I am. What do you want? It's like, fool, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. That happened 3 different times. But I didn't call you, Eli answered. Go back to bed. Samuel went back. Verse 6, again, the Lord called out Samuel's name. Samuel went back to Eli and said, here I am. He said, what do you want? Eli told him, get back in your bed. Son, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Verse 7. The Lord had not spoken to Samuel before, and Samuel did not recognize His voice. Do you recognize the voice of the Lord when He calls? When the Lord called out His name for the third time, Samuel went to Eli again and said, here I am, what do you want? Eli finally realized that it was the Lord who was speaking to Samuel. So he said, go back and lie down, and if someone speaks to you again, answer, I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to do? Once again, Samuel went back and laid down. The Lord then stood beside Samuel and called out as He had done before. Samuel, Samuel, I am listening, Samuel answered. What do you want me to do? So let me just kind of paraphrase the rest of this. Samuel, who was just a boy, was living and serving the priest in the temple, serving the man of God in the temple, who was Eli. We are told that the word of the Lord was very rare in those days. It wasn't happening very much. Not many people were hearing the voice of the Lord or seeing visions or dreams, yet this young man was about to experience something many people in the land of Israel at the time had not seen before or really quite heard about for some time. It's an important moment here. Samuel was about to hear from the Creator, about to hear from his Heavenly Father. Hearing God's voice doesn't have to be weird or mysterious. I'm just going to give you, and I promise you, just be quick, 6 practical steps to hearing the voice of the Lord. Number 1, position yourself close to God. Lean in and listen. Samuel set up his bed in the temple where the Ark of God was. Samuel never heard God speak before. He didn't know what to expect. But what he did know was that if he hung around the temple long enough, God would eventually show up and do something or say something. Through personal devotions and regular church attendance, you are putting yourself in the place where God is, not limited to these four walls, but in the place together. You're putting yourself in the place where God is, positioned to hear corporately. So James 4:7, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The second thing is find a place of regular service to God. In verse 1, it says, Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want to hear God's voice clearly, I want to encourage you to be doing some of the things of God, doing things that are important to God. Be part of a serve team. Be a part of the ushers, the greeters, the kids ministry, the parking lot, the youth, the hospitality team, the cleanup team. Why? Not because we just want your help. No, because when you get around other people and serving on a team, there's people that have all kinds of experiences with the Lord, some more and some less than you. But when you, as a new believer or someone who is desiring to hear the voice of the Lord, when you get around other people on the team, oh, there's this thing called check and balance. There's this thing called conversation that at some point you're going to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart. So I feel like, hey, can I talk to you for a second as we're making coffee? Oh, can I just, I feel like God's done something, and I feel like maybe I heard the word of the Lord. Can you maybe help me discern what this is? And that's the body building each other up, coming to a place of unity, helping to hear. And there are times where, no matter if you've been a Christian for years, or if you've been a Christian and by the end of this service, there's going to be times in your life and seasons to where, no matter if you've heard the voice of the Lord before, you're going to walk through a test, a trial, or a challenge, or something in your life, and you're going to have people around you that can celebrate you, that you can have a check and balance. Do you think this is God, or is this just me? Is this crazy, or is this my weird coffee, or that weird creamer, that coconut creamer that I put in my coffee? Or is it something else? God, is this you speaking and directing me? And other people can confirm what God's already shown you in your heart. Sorry if I'm a little passionate this morning, but I'm going to keep tracking because you've got a few more to go. Serving gets you around other people. Other people know how to use their faith. And there's times where we all have weak moments in our faith that we need to be around. That's why we sing the song with all of the faith in the room. That's what's awesome. When we come in this room, if you're having a weak moment, if you're not strong in your faith or you're facing some challenges, there's other people who will go and celebrate in some wins right now, celebrating some of the things that God has done. Hey, this is day 8 in prayer and fasting, and there's already been some doors and some breakthrough in people's lives. So they're celebrating that. So they're thanking God as they're worshiping. Their hands are lifted high. God, I thank you. Oh, I thank you that you're working and that you're moving, and I thank you for jobs and promotions, and I thank you for touching my body. They're celebrating the physical manifestation of what the Lord has done. So their faith is charged up. So you get around that other person. And just by being in the room with someone who has a win in their life concerning their faith, wow, it does something to us all corporately. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because there's power in the corporate place, just as much power as there is in the secret place. Proverbs chapter 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We don't stab each other and kill us because we could act self-righteous or think that we know it all or know the word or been walking with the Lord or whatever. No, we sharpen each other. We don't point the sword at each other. We don't judge. The Holy Spirit does. Being part of a serve team will allow godly relationships to develop. Others can confirm what the Lord has already spoken. Number 3, listen for God's voice. Eli was lying down in his usual place. But check this out. He was too preoccupied with his own interest to hear from the Lord. Why did Eli not hear? He was the man of God. He was the priest. He was distracted. He had things going on in his life. And the word of the Lord that Samuel had at the end of the story, you can read that on your own. That could be your homework. But the Lord was speaking to Samuel something about Eli that he wasn't doing. He allowed his sons to do some things that weren't right. So now judgment was coming to his house. But you can read that. Listen for God's voice. When God began speaking, Eli was not listening. To hear what God is saying, you have to slow down and take time and get close to God. Time is your most precious possession, your most precious commodity. What are you giving your attention to? We have to put aside our own interest and lean in and hear what God is saying. Number four, when God calls, respond quickly. Respond quickly. When Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, he immediately got up and started moving around. If you want to hear the voice of God, be ready to put into action what he tells you to do. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice are not listened to. We're not led by opportunities. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by open doors or closed doors. We're led by the Spirit of God. You're not led by a dollar sign. You're not led by emotions. You're not led by anything else other than the Holy Spirit of God working and confirming on the inside of you. That's how he leads you. So when God calls, respond quickly. When our kids were younger, we used to teach them obedience is the first time, not the second time. The second time, we're talking about disobedience, and that's going to be some discipline. Obedience is the first time, not the second time. When God calls, respond quickly. Number five, when God speaks, obey him. Starting in this passage and throughout the rest of his life, Samuel consistently obeyed the Lord. No matter what God told him, Samuel did it. 1 Samuel 3:19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. When you feel like the Lord is speaking to you, write it down, take note of it, pray over it, share it with somebody else if he leads you to. But if you're having a hard time discerning, Lord, is this you or is this me? Then go to someone that's trusted. Relationship. Relationship is key in the body of Christ. Share it with somebody so they can help you. Share it with someone who knows the voice of the Lord that can help you discern if God is speaking to you so they can encourage you that, hey, you're right. You're hearing the voice of God. I perceive that this is the voice of God. Don't let someone manipulate you. You got to get to know them. You have to trust them. But I perceive that this is. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of them will confirm that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't understand it either, but that's right. I feel like that's God speaking to you. I feel like you're onto something there. Keep praying about it. Keep walking it out. But the Bible says that out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word shall be confirmed. So share with a couple of trusted people and see what the Lord says through them as well. He will confirm. Amen? Number six, read and study the Word of God. 1 Samuel 3:21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his Word. God continued to speak to Samuel because he desired to develop him for his destiny. We have a destiny to fulfill, and God desires to develop each and every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, no matter where you're at, whatever season in life you're in. God desires to develop you, to finish your course and run your race and finish your God-given destiny. Fulfill it, to run it out, to finish. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what we're living for. We're living for the well done. Not by man, but by Jesus when we stand before him someday. Amen? So in this specific passage, here's my disclaimer. God is calling Samuel to be a prophet. God's not calling you specifically to be a prophet. So don't come back like you got a word from the Lord. You'll be developed and you'll know and will know if that's the ministry that God has for you. God will confirm that through myself, Pastor Basil, through Rachel, through Kathy. We'll know that. But God, in this situation here, God was calling someone to a prophetic ministry. There's going to be parameters and boundaries, but here, that's different. We can hear the voice of the Lord, and those six practical steps are ways that you can position yourself, that you can lean in and listen. You take the first step. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. You take the first step. Do you hear his voice? Do you know his voice? If you want to hear from God, you have to read your Bible. You have to know what the Bible says so you can discern and distinguish, is God speaking to me? What is God speaking to me? What is my next step? It'd be so easy for someone to just tell us what to do. Man, when I was a kid at our church in Revere, Mass., and I was so zealous and passionate for God, I knew God was doing something in me. But there are so many things happening in my life, so much turmoil. My dad just having a heart attack and things like that, and up and down from medication and all the different things and the challenges that he had. And all of us kids having to work and the pressure and the things that, you know, we didn't feel like we wanted to talk about to other people. So distinguishing the voice of the Lord. But in the middle of all this chaos and this pressure, there was the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it was in that tough time in my life, in that place of pressure, to where I heard the voice of the Lord. And I bounced it off my youth pastor, our youth director, some close friends that were mentors of mine. Hey, I feel like God's leading me in this area. And people who were with me that weren't in my situation, they saw my situation. They were praying about stuff in my life. They knew my family. They knew the things. They were praying with us. They were almost like the guardrails that the Holy Spirit was using in our lives, I keep praying on that. Keep praying. Get in the presence of God and keep praying on that. Worship the Lord, because I feel like he's developing something and wants to do something in your life. I feel like he wants to use you, and it seems like you have a little peace, but keep moving forward. That's why you'll always hear me keep telling you that. Keep moving forward, because those words there, they're encouragement, but they're empowerment. Are you ready to take the next step? Maybe you're in a place today, maybe you're trying to decipher the word, maybe you're going through challenges, maybe there's issues. I want to encourage you today. Get in place. Lean in and listen. Create the environment. You ever have walk into a room and you're like, man, someone was brawling here, someone was fighting, there was an argument, or there's just something. Walk into your room and set the atmosphere, your place of prayer, and put on some worship music. And take a moment. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's praise and worship. God, I worship you. God, you're good, you're holy, you're righteous, you're true. That God, as I have my devotion time today, that Lord, I just thank you that you speak. That you speak, that Lord, oh, I thank you that as we declare your word never, ever, ever returns void to you. So I thank you that you're moving in my heart, moving in my home, moving concerning the things that affect me, because Lord, your desire is to perfect those things which concern us. And immediately, just as I did it right there and demonstrated that for you, did you sense the presence of God come a little bit more? I sense it in my heart right now. You can create that atmosphere through your words and through your worship and through your desire to hear the voice of God, because you're leaning in and you're listening. God, move. God, speak. God, whatever you will, not what I will, whatever you will. And then expect it. Expect him to speak. Expect him to correct, to direct. Expect him to encourage. And he will. He will. He always does. So it's all about taking the next step. So every head bowed, every eye closed, you know. I don't know everyone in the room today. The most important thing, the biggest step you could ever take in your life is not who you're going to marry. It's not the career. It's not your job path or anything like that. It's not where you're going to go to school. The greatest decision in your life is you have to ask yourself this question. Do I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? God loves you so very much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to this world. Jesus came into this world as God in the flesh. He put his deity, his God privileges aside for you and for me. And he lived on this earth as a man, 33 and a half sinless years. Religious folks hated him. Pharisees hated him. They despised him, but they were the very person that they were looking for, the Messiah. They did not see him as. Jesus performed many mighty miracles. He touched people's lives. He healed bodies. He raised people from the dead. He empowered people to fulfill their destiny. He forgave sins. He was God in the flesh. So he was sentenced to death on a cross. He was bruised. He was beaten. He took stripes. And what he did was he took all of our sin collectively. Every struggle, every secret sin, everything that you know about and what other people don't know. Every addiction, every affliction, every pain from the past, every abuse. And he paid a price for. He shed his blood on the cross to forgive, to erase, to eradicate sin once and for all. Past, present, and future. Every person that has lived on the planet, past, present, and future. Your sins that you're going to commit 5 days from now, Jesus already paid a price to forgive you and cleanse you of. It's mind-blowing. We don't always understand it. But there comes a moment to where those who have been searching, whether in the building or online, you no longer wonder, but you make a decision to believe. Believe that he is God in the flesh, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross. And I'm so thankful that he didn't just die on the cross, that it didn't end there. I'm thankful that even though for 3 days it was silent, for 3 days it looked like nothing was happening. Oh, but 3 days later, there was a shake, there was a rattle, and there was a rolling away of the stone as Jesus came back as our risen Savior. He's alive. And he desires to have a relationship with you and with me. And he desires to speak to you daily. So I don't know if you know Jesus, if you ask him to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior. We want to rededicate your life back to him. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, out of privacy and respect, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up here and do anything. I'm not going to have people surround you and pray for you like we did earlier. But if you want to receive Jesus and have a no-so experience with him, that he's my Savior, I receive him, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up at the count of three and then put it down. We're going to pray a prayer, and then this will be finished up for today. One, two, three. If that's you, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior or rededicate your life back to him, you slip up your hand right now. Only one looking around is me. You're not going to embarrass you. It's a private moment. It's a holy moment. Awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together, whether in the building or online. Church family, believers, can you help pray this prayer with us? Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross just for me. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Jesus, I ask you to help me that from this moment forward, you would help me to live a life that honors and pleases you. I receive you now. Amen. Can we give these people a great big hand? God bless you guys. One quick word of instruction. If you don't have a church family, you want to say, welcome home. When you're here, you're family. You're important to us. It's going to be important. I want to give you one next step is go ahead and tell someone it's important. You're going to need people to cheer you on and to encourage you. So, hey, tell someone, hey, I prayed that prayer today. You can write that on your Connect card as well, that, hey, I prayed that prayer, rededicated my life back to Jesus today. We can make note of it. We can follow up with you. We can give you any resources that you might need. If you don't have a Bible, our church family would love to bless you with a Bible. If you have a device, you can download the Bible app. And I want to encourage you, the best place to start reading, the Bible is broken up into two sections, Old Testament and New Testament. If you're having a hard time sleeping, go to the Old Testament. Just kidding. Old Testament's important, and the New Testament's important. But I want to encourage you, start in the New Testament. It's the fourth book in. Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the Gospel of John. Why? Because the author John has an understanding and had a revelation of how much God loved him, but also how much God loves you, how important and how valuable you are to the kingdom of God. That's a great place to start reading. I want to encourage you to do so. Congratulations and welcome home. Let's give them a great big hand.